The Haines School Board discusses how to rally voters to support the bond question for three school capital projects on the October ballot. And 3 years after the Fukushima disaster, Alaska and West Coast communities are taking it upon themselves to monitor the waters. It's the KHNS Local News. I'm Margaret Friedenauer. Those stories and more up next. The Skagway Assembly meets Thursday with a draft of the herbicide ordinance that attempts a compromise between herbicide users and those wanting to restrict the use of non-organic chemicals for weed control. The Health, Welfare, and Education Committee and the Public Safety Committee have been working on the ordinance that would ban the sale and use of some herbicides for vegetation control. The Assembly was struggling with what guidelines to use to determine what chemicals should be banned. After work in the committees, a slightly different approach will be brought up for consideration Thursday, limiting the use of restricted pesticides rather than a ban on the use or sale of them. There are several proposed changes to the ordinance with many details, but overall, the new draft encourages the use of alternative vegetation control methods. It outlines how the borough will go about educating residents on weed control methods. The proposed changes include how to determine what is a restricted pesticide using information from the Environmental Protection Agency. The proposed changes would also ban any neonicotinoid pesticides. Those are pesticides used to control insects that have come under scrutiny recently for their effects on honeybee colonies and the loss of birds due to a decline in insect populations. Under the changes, the Skagway Borough Manager would use these guidelines to create a register of restricted pesticides each year, but property owners will still be allowed to use them under certain circumstances. And the use of restricted pesticides will be regulated by the amount. Property owners may apply up to 2 gallons of liquid restricted herbicide or 90 pounds of dry form within a 12-month period. There would be several other restrictions in place, however. Anyone planning to use restricted herbicides will have to put notice near the area. Restricted herbicides will not be allowed within 300 feet of drainage ditches or other waterways. And they will also be prohibited on school grounds or municipal property, except in extreme cases. Those are just some of the details of how the restricted herbicides would be regulated. Included in the draft is a waiver process for other instances or vegetative emergencies, and violations would be fined $1,000. The ordinance is up for a second reading and could be adopted with some of the changes, or all of them, on Thursday. Also up for second reading is an ordinance authorizing a $12 million bond to fund a new public safety building. If approved by the Assembly, the bond is still contingent on voter approval in the October 7th municipal election. Along with that, the Assembly will vote Thursday whether to increase the sales tax by 1% to fund the bond. The increase would be for the second and third quarter of the year to maximize the sales tax revenue during the visitor season. The increase would not be in effect during the usual sales tax holiday between October through March. If approved by the Assembly on Thursday, the sales tax increase would also have to be approved by voters. The Assembly will continue discussing a job outline for the new Port Development Director position, and there are several items under new business up for discussion. An executive session is also planned to discuss the ferry float with the borough attorney. A complete agenda and meeting packet is available online at skagway.org. The Skagway Assembly meets at 7 p.m. Thursday in Assembly Chambers. The Haines Borough School District Board met Tuesday for the first time since the new school year started. Enrollment so far is at 266 students in all grades. Official counts aren't due until October, but 266 is only about 4 students shy of last year's count. The majority of the school board meeting on Tuesday was spent discussing the bonds for 3 school capital projects that will be on the October 7th municipal election. As we've reported before, back in March, the school board and borough assembly in a joint meeting voted to move ahead with an application process to place the bond measures on the ballot. The joint group also passed a resolution requesting the legislature fund the State Department of Education and Early Development Capital Improvement Projects Fund. The department can help fund school capital projects. There were originally 5 projects the group wanted to try to bond for. 2 of the projects were tied together, projects to renovate the high school locker room and the pool locker room to fix plumbing and mechanical issues. Engineers said those projects should be done at the same time. But because the pool is borough operated, the State Department of Education said it would not qualify for any funding assistance or reimbursement on that project. The department did, however, notify the borough in July that the other three projects would qualify for 70% reimbursement. So, while the borough would have to bond for the total amount of the three projects, about $3.9 million, the state would reimburse the borough 70% of that. Those projects are replacing the high school air handling unit, mechanical upgrades to the vocational education building, and high school roof repairs. Approving the bond would still increase the mill rate in order to pay back the 30% of the cost the projects the borough would have to pay. If all three projects are approved, the borough estimates the mill rate would increase to equal about $36 a year in additional taxes on a $100,000 home. One of the projects has already been nearly completed, the air handling units, and that was partially paid for by the school district. The board discussed Tuesday that it assumes it would get the reimbursement for that portion of the project it paid for. The board discussed Tuesday how it can reach out to the community to provide information about the projects and build support for the bond questions. Each project will appear individually on the ballot for voters to decide on October 7th. It's been more than 3 years since a Fukushima nuclear plant accident resulted in a spill of millions of gallons of radioactive cooling water into the Pacific. Oceanographers projected that it could take until this year for highly diluted traces of that spill in Japan to reach the west coast of North America. Radiation experts don't believe there is a cause for alarm on our shores, however, but some coastal residents are stepping forward to pay for seawater testing just to be sure. In Alaska, sampling sites include Skagway, Seward, Bering Strait, Ketchumak Bay, Kodiak Island, and Prince William Sound. Nearby sites include Canadian waters near the southeast Alaska border. For more on this story, we hear from Northwest News Network correspondent Tom Bonsi from Olympia, Washington.
The presence or absence of Fukushima radiation in the water can hardly be more personal than it is for open water swimmer Wayne Kinslow of Seattle.
Today is 710 days in a row.
Actually, more than that by now.
I just love the water, so I go out. It's great exercise.
Kinslow swims about 20 minutes per day in chilly Puget Sound, so he dug into his own pocket to the tune of $550 to finance an independent water test. It came back non-detect for nuke plant radiation.
This is something that was really important to me because I'm out there every day and I don't really want to die. So it's best to test the water, and this is my chance. So as soon as we got an opportunity, I just threw all the money at it for the first sample.
Kinslow is not the only one willing to pay big bucks for reassurance. Portland High School art teacher Terry Waldron is fundraising to test the waters near her and her husband's second home in Newport, Oregon.
You know, for a while I thought about not eating fish for a while. And I thought, I can't do that, you know. But I was so concerned at a point because I couldn't find any information. So I do eat fish, I do, but I still want that test done.
Waldron and Kinslow signed on to a crowdfunded radiation monitoring project run by the reputable Woods Hole Oceanographic Institute. Donors have ponied up for testing at about 30 sites from California to Alaska. Waldron and Kinslow say it's a lot of work and slow going to get others to contribute to this cause. That might have something to do with the fact that scientists and government agencies have been consistent in saying not to worry.
With the samples that we've taken that are along the West Coast, we don't see anything of concern. We don't expect to see anything.
That's Kathy Higley, professor of radiation health physics at Oregon State University.
It has diluted, it has decayed, it has dispersed. My husband and I take our kids to the coast all the time. We are not at all concerned about it. We eat seafood. We're not concerned about it.
She says graduate students in her department are looking for Fukushima radiation, but not out of fear, rather out of academic and scientific interest. Isotopes released in the accident can be used as tracers to study ocean circulation and fish migration. This summer, one of Higley's PhD students collected seawater samples and various fish on a research cruise off the Washington and Oregon coasts. Delvin Neville is now analyzing these in Corvallis. The samples go into a really, really sensitive detector covered in lead bricks. They have to sit inside the chamber for days to generate a result.
Yeah, it takes a long time to count it. One, because there's so little activity present. even in the worst case model, there may be just a few becquerels at most of cesium-137 on the detector.
Neville says for perspective, it helps to remember we're surrounded by low levels of natural radiation.
Several seconds worth in a stuffy basement was a larger dose than consuming a year's worth of albacore. But yeah, but I mean, people are not really aware of all the things around them that are radioactive. They don't consider themselves radioactive.
State public health agencies are also testing seawater for Fukushima contamination. Oregon results show nothing abnormal. Washington's latest results are pending. But it seems these efforts have not fully penetrated the public consciousness. Enough people called marine chemist Ken Bissler on the East Coast seeking assurances that he started a citizen science testing program. That's the Our Radioactive Ocean Project, which the swimmer and the art teacher we heard from earlier donated to.
Given this concern and the numerous requests for information, I just decided if we could put up and do this with crowdfunding, we could do this quickly and get people the information they want.
Bissler says in his more than 30 years in ocean science, he's never crowdfunded a research project before, but on this one, he says he was unwilling to wait for government grants to come through, given that models show a highly diluted Fukushima plume could be arriving now. I'm Tom Bonsi reporting.
For KHNS News, I'm Margaret Friednauer. Special thanks to Tom Bonsi for help with this report. Thanks for joining us for your local news on KHNS. We appreciate your support.